Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
And this is your man, Professor X Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Take out your textbooks, take a seat, and close your mouths, because class is in session.
Hey, man. Hey. Whoever over there messing with you, man, you better tell them.
Don't start with me, boy.
See, I'm trying to defend you. Already, you already trying to be I'm trying to defend you. I'm about to say, whoever's messing with you, you tell them I said leave you the hell alone. But no, but here you go again with your damn ignorant-ass shenanigans, always jumping ahead, trying to be ignorant. See, that's why we don't get along, Professor. You want
to help me? You want to help me?
You know what? Here goes some more.
You want to help me?
Go ahead. Yes.
You want to help me?
Yes, I would like
somebody over here bothering me. Because somebody over here bothering me. So whip your own ass. Whip your own ass. Whip your ass, boy.
Blame my mouth. Just blame it. And don't whoop me. Shout out to that young man, whoever that boy is on YouTube, man. Yo, that dude, man, it was a couple years ago. That guy, man. 5 years old, you could tell he was bad as hell. He said he told his mother, blame his mouth. That's why he was being disrespectful. He said, and don't whoop him. And he told his mother, whoop nothing or else whoop your own ass. That was the funniest ever. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and keep this thing going. Thank you for tuning in to episode 39 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. Number to call into the show, 858-777-8433. Make sure you call into the show and press 1 on your mobile device, and we will let you through. Want to give a shout out once again to my mommy. Yes. I'm a mama's boy. Yes, I'm that. And shout out to my brother as well. All the good people out there in the world in TV land that's listening to us right now. We about to go ahead here at Locker Room Talk Radio. We'd like to open up each segment with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it, Damn. Okay. First of all, breaking news for those that been living under a rock. Zion Williamson will undergo knee surgery, out for 6 to 8 weeks. This is a big blow to me for the National Basketball Association. And the reason why, well, before I get into that, let me just let my other brother in on the line. My other brother, man, NYC's finest. My man Q Drakeford is on the mic as well. What up, Q? Oh, okay. Well, I thought he was on the line. That's what I get for thinking. Well, anyway, he should be on the show momentarily. But let me tell you what I was thinking about the Zion Williams situation. Williamson's situation. He's a freak of nature, no doubt about it. Athletic, jump shot to be desired. He has to work on that, I think, a little bit more. But let's not forget, in college, he busted out of a Nike shoe. The boy is big. The boy is 6'7", 280, 284. It's a big dude, man, a Mack truck. And I was talking to a professor earlier, and I really believe, and I'm going to say it again, I think he needs to shed down a couple of pounds, man, because the way he moves, he's too big. He's too big the way he moves. And I love the way he moves. Just like, I like the way. Nah, I'm just messing with y'all. But anyway, but the problem is, he got all that mass, and that's too much weight to be trying to stop at a drop of a dime. And I think he's going to have to lose a couple of pounds just try to prevent. I mean, that's not going to prevent all injuries, but it would definitely tone him down some. Professor X Factor, your thoughts about Zion Williamson missing 6 to 8 weeks, man? He's not going to be a winner. He's going to be gone for about 2 months.
All right. Motherfuckers get hurt every day, B. I don't really necessarily think that him losing weight is going to necessarily just solve that problem for him.
Right.
Because the only thing that losing weight is going to do is make him faster and quicker. So for the weight that he won't have, he'll have increased speed. That's
okay.
Not going to really necessarily be beneficial to his joints either. If that is in fact what caused it was his weight. In turn, I think that might have been just like a freak type of thing, because otherwise, mm-hmm. if he loses weight, he's going to be that much faster, and then he's going to try to stop. His frame, he's not a fat guy. He's just a big, solid-ass kid. That's what I think the answer for him is probably going to be doing some additional strength training to strengthen the joints in his knees and in his ankles. Otherwise, yeah, he's going to have repeated issues.
Well, the reason why I said that, and I don't want to put it all on, because like you said, he's not a fat guy. He's just a solid kid. But the reason why I keep going to that is because, like you said, it could make him go faster, but that's not as much weight coming down on those knees. You got to remember, that hardwood, man, is different than that grass on the football field. You know what I mean? And you take a lot of shock, you know what I'm saying, on that hardwood floor. So if 280 pounds keep hitting down, you know, there's a difference between 280 pounds hitting the hardwood than 240. Hitting the hardwood. And you may think, like, well, that's only 20 pounds. But 20 pounds makes a difference. You understand what I mean? So I get where you're going, but at the same time, that's why I say what I'm saying, because my thing is that, you know, it's not because of the weight that – but that's why I said before, I'm not alluding that this is going to solve all his problems. I just think that it would diminish it to a lesser degree. But at the end of the day, I mean, you can't teach 280. You know what I'm saying? Either you're 280 or you're not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, his mother and father made him, you know what I'm saying, 6'7". You know, you can't teach that either. You know what I'm saying? Either you got it or you don't. But it's just, I just see, because the way he plays the aggression in his game and the way that he plays, the way he attacks the rim, the way, you know what I'm saying, that he goes through the lane. You know what I mean? He's just a physical nature. And I love the way he plays, because he reminds me of an old school, like we were talking about before, the Alonzo Mournings of the world, the Sean Kemps of the world, the Charles Barkley's, all those guys. But at the same time, like I said, I look at the Lonzo Mournings, but the Lonzo Mournings wasn't doing what Zion Williamson's doing now. You know what I mean? They stayed, you know what I'm saying, underneath the basket. Zion is coming on top of the key, through the wing. He's coming from all type of directions, you know what I mean, like a Mack truck. Lonzo didn't really do that much, you know what I'm saying, to me. But it's either here or there. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? We wish you a speedy recovery, Zion Williamson. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and move forward. And not only that, Jaylen Brown agrees to a 4-year, $115 million extension with the Boston Celtics. Also, point guard Deontay Murray agrees to a 4-year deal, $64 million. And Buddy Hield for the Sacramento Kings agreed to a 4-year, $4 million deal. So a lot of people are getting paid right now in the NBA. The NBA season is coming upon us. Professor X Factor, I got to ask you this before we move on, because you know we're going to talk about it before the season open up. Are you sold on these LA Lakers, man? Are you sold on this LeBron James and Anthony Davis duo?
I don't think it's going to be enough down the stretch.
Down the stretch?
Are they going to win some games? Yeah. But down the stretch, that shit ain't going to be enough.
Okay.
Ain't going to be enough.
Okay.
I don't give a damn how many fans the Lakers got. Down the stretch of the season, that shit ain't going to be enough.
Okay. You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, the Lakers look good. Now, to me, what was it? I want to say last week I watched the game. I forgot who they played. But LeBron didn't look the LeBron. He didn't look like the LeBron that we normally see. Of course, you know, he's getting older. He's a year older. Age start to come up.
He need to go back to Miami to look like that. So he can be near his drug connect.
Alleged group drug connect.
Fuck that. The only motherfucker I ever seen.
For defamation.
He's the only motherfucker I ever seen that got stronger, faster, and more muscular, and more athletic as he got older. Never seen nothing like that in my damn life.
Amen.
Not ever. Except for in bodybuilders. Bodybuilders do that.
Well, LeBron is a big dude, son.
That son bitch swole up like Peyton Manning's head.
You ain't trying to hear. Well, let me ask you this one final question about this LeBron and AD, not saga, but duo. I was talking to a young man the other day, and I asked him, you know, he's a big-time Laker fan, so I asked him his opinion. I said, how do you think the Lakers will succeed this season? Will it be that all gameplay has to go through LeBron or AD? And I've told him I think it should go through AD, but he pretty much told me the only way they're going to win is if it goes through LeBron, as far as, you know, the ball has to come to him and all the plays got to go through him. Professor X Factor, your opinion, your question. I mean, your answer to
that's
that question.
That's bullshit. That's just that, a LeBron nut swinger.
Okay. That's what it is? Okay.
That's a LeBron nut swinger. That offense does not have to go through LeBron. LeBron doesn't play point. That's like the – I mean, no.
I mean, like, he does. Right. He's not really supposed to, but that's
he's
really
not a point guard.
Right.
He can play point, but he is not a point guard. Like, this. Nah, man. Like, I mean, I get the LeBron fandemonium and all of that shit. I get it. I absolutely understand where they're coming from. Yes, LeBron is one of the best of this era, but that doesn't mean that the offense has to run through him. It's kind of like football. If I got a good team and I'm trying to put myself over the top and I sign Jerry Rice, all of a sudden, that's going to be worldwide news. Oh, my God. Javon signed Jerry Rice. Shit! But if you're looking at it like that, every other team is also looking at it like that.
Right.
Which means they're going to pay more attention to that motherfucker. Why not use him on occasion as a decoy? But no, we just think that LeBron King James can walk on fucking water. that's the way he gets out of damn bullshit. That like that muscle doesn't float, all
right?
Muscle
right.
Doesn't
does.
Float.
Yeah, does
that motherfucker gonna sink like a damn rock. And is he good? Yes, he's good. Am I a LeBron hater? No, I'm not a LeBron hater. Y'all make it easy to hate him because y'all swing from his neck. Oh my God, LeBron is the first person to wake up and grab a Q-tip and clean his earlobes first in NBA history.
Really,
y'all
man.
Do too much nut swinging. Y'all swing from that man's nuts like a Christmas tree ornament during the holiday season. Stop it. Yes, he's good. My God, he ain't. I don't even know if he's even the best in the league this year.
You can question that.
You could have questioned that last year. Hell, or the year before that. KD been busting the NBA's ass. Yeah, damn it.
You question that. But you know, I'm not going to get too far into that. But we're going to move on, man.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on.
I can hear the frustration in your tone, so you don't really respect the Kang around here.
Yeah, the Kang is up.
I knew you was gonna. I was just sitting there waiting. That's why I was sitting there waiting. Hold on for 1 second, man. We got a caller in here. I just want to go ahead and let him through. I think this is my brother. Is this my brother on the line?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
What's going on, family? Everybody, man. This is my brother, man. Executive Q Drakeford is on the mic. What's going on, Q?
Hey, you know, another Monday.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I hear that. We're going to go ahead and move along, man. We're going to move along. Hey, this is a little funny story, man. I gotta touch base on this. Bobby McCain, man, Dolphins safety Bobby McCain will be disciplined by the team for a verbal confrontation with a 13-year-old boy at a Finns game. Now, okay, I get it, but you can't be arguing no 13-year-old kid. But not only did he will be disciplined for having a verbal confrontation with a 13-year-old. And for allegedly spitting in the face of another Bills fan following a Miami loss. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We talk all the time about fans being out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? We say, yo, just because you pay for a ticket don't mean that you can be out of pocket. That don't mean you can start, you know, throwing out obscenities, you know, racial slurs and throwing stuff at people, you know what I mean? Just acting unruly, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't give you the green light to do that because you paid for a ticket. I care less if your ticket was worth $10,000. That's not what we do. But in this case, I mean, Bobby McCain, I mean, if you did do this, bro, look, we protect y'all, man. We always bat for y'all as far as the athletes are concerned. You can't be spitting in nobody's face, man. Yeah, and I get it. People might say something wrong to you, but you can't be spitting in nobody's face if that's what you did. That is one of the worst things that you could ever do to any human being possible. That's like at the bottom of the barrel, gutter disrespect. Like, that is the nastiest ever, to spit in somebody's face because you lost. Because you lost. So you got mad at a Bills fan, you spit in his face.
Gary,
I don't want to hear that, Professor. It doesn't happen every
Gary,
day. If that's
what Gary.
What?
Gary.
What?
Fuck that little boy. Fuck him. Fuck that little boy. Fuck him. Shit.
Oh, man. But yeah, I just thought that was a quick. It's not funny. No, damn that. It is funny. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because this shit is funny. But the lesson learned, ladies and gentlemen, keep your spit in your mouth, and if you don't want people to heckle you, man, you got to win. Don't lose. I guess that's the bottom line. But we're going to go over these games real quick yesterday. These games, crazy. First of all, I just want to tell the both of you gentlemen, oh, God, the picks were horrific. They were terrible. I had only 4 correct. Executive, you had 4 with me, so I don't feel as bad. I had some company. But that damn professor had 8. Don't like that. Don't like that too tough. You know what I'm saying? These games was just everybody that, for the most part, who we picked, ended up losing. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 30-6. That defense just tore my fantasy up. It was just the worst. The Dolphins lose to the Bills 31-21. I just knew Buffalo was going to win that one. The Jags beat the Bengals 27-17. Vikings, the hell with you, Professor, because Dalvin Cook did go to hell off, man. 42 damn
30. Yo, hey, yo, I told you, dog. I told you. I said, Dalvin Cook going to go the fuck off. I tried to tell you. Until somebody can beat him to the edge, he's going to be a problem for everybody they play against, man. It's not even that he's a spectacular running back. He's just outrunning everybody to the corner.
Right. The Raiders end up losing to Green Bay 24-42. They got shellacked. The Rams beat the Falcons 37-10. The Texans lose to the Colts 23-30. The 49ers beat the Redskins, which was actually a tight damn game, 9-0, even though the conditions were bad, but still, it was a tight game nonetheless. My New York football Giants, man, oh, God, lost to the damn Cardinals, man, 27-21. The Chargers lose to the Titans, 20-23. The Saints beat the Bears, 36-25. The Ravens beat the Seahawks, which surprised me, because I picked Seattle. Who did you pick? Y'all both picked Baltimore, so it didn't surprise either way, but it surprised me. 30-16. The Eagles, lost to the Cowboys. 10-37 in tonight's game, the Patriots against the Jets. That game will be at 8:15 Eastern Standard Time. I got to ask you a question. AQ, I'm going to get you in this conversation, man. You know I'm going to talk about it, right, because you know that's our squad. What the hell happened yesterday, man? What the hell happened yesterday against these Cardinals? Before I give my opinion, what happened, man, in your opinion?
Okay. So I guess I'll take five words from every week of football since the NFL draft and repeat exactly what I've been saying.
Okay.
The Giants suck.
You know what, man? I'm not even mad at him, man.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute.
The Giants have no linebackers.
I'm trying to smoke and laugh. This shit is not working.
The Giants have no linebackers.
Nope.
The Giants have no head coach. The Giants have no head coach. The Giants ownership is closer to Dan Snyder than it is to the Rooney. The Giants are so attached to legacy and trying to fabricate the perception of their previous mishaps and mistakes that they've done everything wrong in order to try to salve it. The Giants have no pass rush. The Giants overpaid for offensive linemen because the Giants didn't make themselves attractive in free agency for anybody who gives a damn to want to play for them. The Giants' smartest moves was getting rid of the good people in order to get something back in return, but it was going to solve nothing. I am okay with the loss on Sunday. Because you either win in February or you win in April. All you Giants fans or any other team fans that are happy, excited about your team improving from last year 4-12 to 8-8 this year, I clap for you. You're stupid, but I clap for you. Because why you're excited for a 16th overall pick in the first round is beyond me. You either win in February, and I don't mean make it to the Super Bowl, I mean win in February, or you win in April. So right now, with that Giants loss, we have a top five draft pick, and I'm okay with that.
Where do you think that draft pick should be used?
Because that draft pick should be used to draft the fuck back and turn into two or three more picks, which then turn into linebackers, pass rusher, and an offensive blindside tackle. It should not be used for anything except to draft back. Like, hey, here you go. Who needs a quarterback? You need a quarterback? I'm going to go quarterback Miami. I'm going to go quarterback Indianapolis. Anybody quarterback, going to quarterback Chicago. Sold to the highest quarterback. I don't give a fuck where it goes. Unless Lawrence Taylor is on the board. Unless Michael Strahan is on the board. Unless Lawrence Taylor is on the board at five, I'll even accept Joe Thomas on the board at number five. You know what? Okay, take him. Why? Because you got a high-ass draft pick in the second round, too. So that's cool. But you know what? It better be a Khalil Mack game-changing, I can't believe we got to see this dude twice in the division type motherfucker. If not, trade back, get three people, and sell that quarterback pick to the highest bidder.
I was surprised to see Saquon playing. I don't know.
Saquon was surprised to see Saquon playing.
I don't know that it benefited them any. I think it put them at more at risk than any damn thing
of
else. I'm trying to figure out why is he out there.
Because they're trying to win in April. So if everybody gets injured, then we can sit there and try to go for. I don't know what anybody's plan is, because that's why I keep saying, everybody keeps asking me, why you keep saying top five pick? Why you keep saying five? No, pick at number five. Well, first of all, Miami's not even getting number one. Every time Miami lose, Cincinnati's like, what? Oh, my poodle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Cincinnati, out there like, Cincinnati out there like, two of what? Two of who? Two of Cincinnati.
Right. No, you're right about that.
Tua is going to Ohio. You understand what I'm saying? Every time Miami loses, Cincinnati like, what? Oh, my poodle. You ain't saying shit. Okay?
Man,
Andy Dalton. Oh, well, speaking of which, I guess I'll go ahead and give you the exclusive now.
No, go right ahead, man. Ladies and gentlemen, these are Locker Room Talk Radio exclusives by my man Executive. Go right ahead, man.
The Chicago Bears are trying to foil plans that any other franchise that shall remain nameless may have in trying to acquire Cam Newton, because the Chicago Bears have been on the phone with the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers for the services of Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton.
Mitchell Trubisky
seems to be done. No. One order. They're looking to see who they can afford, because remember, they've given away. They've given away a lot of their draft capital for Khalil Mack, so they don't have the same pull for Cam Newton as they would for Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater's not going to be out there. You know, a team isn't looking for two first-round picks, you know, or late first and a high second for Teddy Bridgewater. But, you know, Carolina is going to look for that for Cam. So that's what the current state of Chicago is, because Matt Nagy is on the hot seat. Speaking of hot seats, is the other exclusive. There are three people currently 1 foot in and 1 foot out the door of hot seats. Pat Shurmur is indirectly one of them.
Yes, Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, Lord.
Dan Quinn is number two, not number one.
And who the hell is number one?
So who do you think number one is?
You know what? Let me guess. Hold on. Who? Oh, hold on. We know it ain't Flores. That's too damn easy. Who's number one? Damn. Who is number one?
Is the person currently coaching?
He's coaching right now.
No, the person is not currently coaching.
Oh, my bad. I assumed that. Okay. Who's in the house?
Bill Cowher?
John Elway.
No. Oh.
Shit.
Damn. Yeah, okay.
The only reason it hasn't been publicized is because of the Super Bowl victory. Other than that, if you look at his numbers and statistics, it's worse than Jerry Reese in his tenure.
Okay.
When you compare the numbers of the individuals that have been drafted over the course of the years, how many of those individuals turn into Pro Bowl players, how many winning seasons they have had, how many Super Bowl contenders they have been, it doesn't look good for Mr. Elway.
You know what? It really doesn't, because now that I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it, and I'm not just trying to piggyback on what you said, but when I'm sitting here thinking about it, other than Peyton Manning, who did they have? They had Brock Osweiler that didn't work out. Then they had Paxton Lynch that didn't work out. Then they had
Peyton Manning really wasn't a great thing for them either.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but they won a Super Bowl regardless, and I feel what you're saying. I'm just talking about as far, like he said.
I know why they won.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Other than
the reason they won is still on the roster. Like, I mean, shit.
I got you. I'm just saying.
I remember that goddamn game. Von Miller acted a damn fool out there.
Right. I'm talking about after that game, they really didn't live up to standard after that Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Man, they really haven't. You know what I'm saying? Everybody talked real big about him, especially when they had Brock Osweiler. They paid him over $100 million, and he was a $100 million bust. So, wow, okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, got you. But I want to go back real quick, man, before I move forward. I want to go back real quick on this Giants game real quick. Man, I have to say this to all those who are listening.
Nothing to say.
I got you, but I got to say this, though. At the end of the day,
when you finish it, I gotta say what I got to say after you say what you say.
Oh, okay, no problem. While I was sitting there watching this game yesterday, and it was really irking my damn nerves, I had a phone call, and that phone call came to me, and it was my brother. My brother Kane, Coach Kane, called me, and he said, "Gee, are you looking at this?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Are you looking at this?" And you know what he told me? He said, "You know what? You might be right." And I said, what do you mean? He said, "You might get your wish." He said, "They might mess around and put Eli back in this game." And I said, "Is that right?" So the reason why he said that to me is because I told him right before we had the transition over from from Eli Manning to Daniel Jones, I said, "Look, I'm pretty sure Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback. I have no problems. He's a New York Giant. I got to deal with him. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to root for him the whole nine." But at the same time, I said, you know, plugging him in was not going to solve our immediate problem, because just like yesterday, the play caller and the coach was so damn horrible and horrific that it don't matter who you had behind center, it was going to be the same damn way. The same.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm on the phone, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
At the end of the day, my thing is, I'm sitting here and I was telling him, I said, "Look, just like, okay, yesterday we got sacked, just like you said, we have no line. I grant that. But why would you, if you got 2 minutes or some change left, when they kick the ball up over to us, back to us, Valentine takes it out the end zone to try to gain yardage. We have no more timeouts. Why would you just not take a knee and go up to the 25 and try to make something happen then?" Once again, that's coaching in my eyes. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, this dude got to go. And I don't even want him to challenge nothing else ever again in life. Every challenge that Sherman makes, he loses. He damn loses. I'm sitting, don't even give this dude a red flag. Don't even give him one, because he damn sure doesn't know how to use them. But that's all. I just had to put that out there. Executive, you got the floor, man. Before I move forward, you got the floor. You wanted to say something, Executive? Okay, maybe he doesn't.
Oh, you couldn't hear me? Oh, I was talking shit. I guess you couldn't hear me.
Oh, I was sitting here okay, you say that's what
I'm saying. Yeah, no, I was all deep into it. So what I was saying was, I could say something like, you know, give the play call into Mike Shula,
mm-hmm.
and let's see. I could say that we have the right pieces on defense. We're just playing the wrong defense. I could say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could also say that the preservation of Eli Manning's legacy for not being a losing record, and that being the primary reason to pull him on week 3, sounds good. I could say all of those things. I could also say that maybe when you put a Capricorn against the wall and fuck with them enough and realize their legacy is in jeopardy, that maybe that Capricorn rises to the occasion. Maybe you say to that Capricorn, "Hey, do you know you have a losing record now? Eli, go out there and handle that shit." I could say all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But until there's a change in the front office, does it matter? Until there's a change in leadership, will it matter? So until then, I digress and I stress three words. Go Big Blue.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I don't know.
We should be running a 4-3 defense with a defensive coordinator that runs a 4-3. How do you not have linebackers? How do you have the weakest linebacker group in the world and you decide, hey, let's run a defense that requires four of them?
Man, look. Look.
You understand what I'm saying? He had one winning season. He had one good season in Arizona. And all of a sudden, how you doing? All of a sudden, he's a defense coordinator. You not no defensive guru. He don't know what the fuck he doing. Like, what? Miss me. Do y'all know his name? Y'all know the defensive coordinator's name? See what I'm saying? Nobody. When you think defensive coordinator, nobody in the world says, ooh, James Dutcher, get him.
Right.
Nobody. But, yep, that's, like I said, the moral of the story is this. Okay, people should pick their own partners. I don't care if you're talking about sex, marriage, or business. You should pick your own partners. The fact that the general manager was handpicked by the owner, and then the general manager and owner handpicked coordinators and coaches, then I can only put 70% of this on Shermer because Shermer didn't pick his coordinators. Gettleman picked his coaching staff. These people don't gel together. They don't go together. None of them go together. Listen to it. I want y'all to say it out loud. Shermer, Shuler, Fetcher. Shermer, Shuler, Fetcher. Shermer, Shuler, Fetcher. You see what I'm saying? Nobody with any football intellect agrees with any of those three things as being synonymous with the other. I'm done. Go Big Blue. Go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue.
Yep. And go right to April and win the draft because you ain't winning shit up. Yep.
I got you. I appreciate you, executive. I appreciate you, mate. Coach Andy Reid said...
I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Well, go ahead and mute yourself, son. Be cool. Cool out. But Andy Reid said that it'll be a stretch for Mahomes to return back this week. Professor X Factor, I'm going to go to you first. Should Patrick Mahomes, with the injury that he has as far as his knee... Do you feel confident with the Chiefs' chances to go deeper to the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes out for at least 3 to 4 weeks, even with him out?
Do I feel confident in their ability to make the playoffs?
Yes, without Patrick Mahomes for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why?
Patrick Mahomes ain't the only weapon they got. And for the amount of separation that their receiving corps gets in the secondary, you really could take a – Joe Flacco could find them fucking receivers.
Okay.
Joe Flacco could find them receivers. I mean, shit.
You see what I mean? I get you, but let me oppose this to you. You know, a lot of times we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, and usually, other than the game that they just played this week that just passed, they usually don't blow nobody out like that. That's not what they do. You know what I mean? Yeah, not like that. Not like that. You know what I'm saying? It could be. I mean, their defense this game. Their defense played more than their offense did. They scored more on defense than they did on offense. And that's what I'm saying. They don't do that.
So you're not talking about the scoreboard. You're talking about the way they scored.
You know, the way they scored. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant to say. I got you. I stand corrected. But that's what I meant to say. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, okay, where was this play at before Patrick Mahomes got hurt? Because this Kansas City Chiefs defense that I know and I've seen, they're not that great, bro. But they scored like what?
Who did they play against?
More points.
Who did they play against? Who did that defense just play against? No, don't get quiet. Who the fuck
okay.
did that defense okay. just
okay.
play against?
I got you. I mean, I get it.
Damn it. Like we ain't gonna let you do it. No. I was trying to give
a little bit of encouragement, son. Just a little bit of encouragement.
Yeah, fuck that. They still ain't good. Shit. It was Joe Flacco.
Boy, I swear to God, boy.
We just got finished explaining why John Elway might be done.
Right.
And right. we all know why Joe Flacco is the worst possible option for the Broncos.
Well, I mean, I hear you.
Chiefs defense is not good.
No, they're not. But they look like world beaters. That's what I'm saying. On Thursday, they look like world beaters. That's why I was like, okay, because we are, as far as I can see, when I think Kansas City Chiefs, just like probably 8 out of 10 people would think is Patrick Mahomes. Even though Kareem Hunt, he's not there no more. They got the boy that came back, Tyreek Hill. You got Sammy Watkins. You got the other dude, Harden, whatever the hell his name is. I got all that.
Travis Kelce.
I get that. But when you think of Kansas City Chiefs, none of the names come up first. You always think of Patrick Mahomes first. And when he's out, a lot of times people say, well, damn, I wonder which Kansas City Chiefs team you're going to get. Why? Because he's a guy that literally will carry the team on his back. Yes, they got great receivers. Yes, they got a wonderful tight end, a Pro Bowler tight end. But at the end of the day, somebody got to throw him the damn ball. Because we all know.
He's probably the best tight end in the league right now.
You think so? Travis Kelce?
Yeah, he might be the best tight end in the league. He's got to be one of the top three tight ends in the league.
Oh, top three, of course. But I'm thinking best tight end in the league. Is he that? He just might be.
Who's above him?
He just might be, bro. I'm not mad at you. He just might be. But the thing about it is that, like I said, we all know when Patrick Mahomes scores, we all know that defense is going to put him right back on the field. You see what I mean? Like as quick as they can score in 2 minutes, 30 seconds, they right back on the field because defense just gave up a damn touchdown just that quick. They have no gun support. They got no air support. So that's why I'm asking.
Not against Denver.
I don't know. And it is what it is. But I just.
Against Denver, they look fucking great.
Man, but. But.
How's the Kansas City Chiefs team? Man, offensively, they're awesome. What about the defense? Against Denver, they're great. They look great against fucking Denver.
I got you. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. But
that's just like Dallas looking great against Philly. Shit.
And that's what I was about to get to. That was going to be my next subject. This game last night, man, pissed me, was called the hell off. And I got to ask you, your personal opinion, Professor, do you think that the Dallas Cowboys, with the performance they had against Philly, was it more Dallas that took the game over, or was it more that Philly?
Philly played like shit.
Go ahead.
They played like shit. So I looked at the stats at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Carson went through 8 passes in the first half.
Got you.
I'm going to say it again. Carson went through 8 passes in the first half. 8! Of the 8, he only completed 5 fucking passes, man.
Right.
No. 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 Now, the other mistake, I think one of the mistakes that teams make against Dallas is like Philadelphia as a team, they kind of fall right into the mold of what Dallas needs.
Okay.
When Philadelphia is playing well, they score very quickly.
Got you.
That's not something that against Dallas benefits you at all. Because mm-hmm. Dallas's offensive line is such that they will just beat up on your defensive front seven for four
Absolutely.
Fucking quarters. By the time you get to the fourth quarter, hell, by the time you get to the third quarter, your defensive linemen got their hands on their hips. Them fat bastards is tied. You know what I mean? So, of course, Zeke finished with 100 yards. I noticed the carry that he got 100 yards on. Immediately
right.
after that carry, he went to the sideline.
Yep.
Immediately after that carry, he went to
yep.
the sideline.
Well, dude, because I'm $100 million.
All,
I ain't going out there.
Was,
hurt
well,
my
not, well, not even that. I think, you know, I don't know how many 100-yard games he has to have to hit bonus money standpoint, but it was almost like, oh, is that 100 yards? That, yep, that's 100. All right. I'm out. Like that, as soon as he got – he ran, spun around, got hit, fell, got up, waved his hand. Hey, come on.
Right.
Hey, come on. Back up. Back up. With a backup. So, I mean, defensively, Philadelphia looked like shit. They don't like they know where in the hell they were. They didn't know where the hell they was at.
But that's usually not what they do, and that's what surprised me, because they don't look like that on a regular basis. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, what is it about the damn AT&T Air? Like, what is it about going down there in Dallas? You just now forgot how to tackle. You forgot how to shed off blocks. Like, I mean, I get it. It's Dallas Cowboys.
They pumping carbon monoxide into the field.
Man, doing something. Because I'm going to tell you right now.
Bill Cosby is their water boy.
Slipping roofies. Stop it. Stop it right
Did
now.
Did you miss that tackle on third down? Shit.
Stop it right now. Because it was like there were no show, man. Cox was no show. Fletcher Cox was no show. Orlando Scandrick was no show. I mean, like, these dudes, man. It was like, okay, where was all this? I don't know. Like I said, I agree with you, man. Well, no, I got to take that back. I kind of got to – oh, God, this pains me to say. Even though Philly did play like some trash, though, I think it was more that Dallas just did what the hell they wanted to do. They especially, like I said, we all know the game
Philly
is won in the trenches. You know what I'm saying? It's one in the trenches, man. And that offensive line, man, is something special. I can't stand them dudes, but they are something special. And no matter what it is that they go through, man, they always find a plug to plug into that line, man, and it's like they never lost a beat. And they just did what they wanted to do. Now, here comes the other question I have for you, Professor, and I know Executive is still listening, so you can jump in here anytime you want. Does this bring the case, or does this make Dak Prescott look better for his money? Like, can he make the case now?
No,
it doesn't.
No, we got quick.
Yeah.
Next question.
Like,
look how quick. Yo, look how quick both of y'all that no.
No, absolutely.
Next question.
Like, no.
ain't enough minutes in the show. No.
Ain't enough minutes.
Hey, yo, like, bruh.
No.
I mean, he's just no. It's not.
I hope they do, but no.
No.
Next.
Shit.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. It's 7:49 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's game, New York Jets. New England Patriots. I don't even know why I'm going to touch on this, but I'm going
to
touch on it.
I do want to say this, though.
Okay.
Last night in the fourth quarter, there was a pass that Carson Wentz threw. It was a post route, a deep post route down the center of the field. to to one of his wide receivers. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I'm trying to remember the son's name, but I can't.
Aguilar? It's Aguilar?
No. It was number 13, I think it was. This dude,
okay,
he made mistaken. Almost, that might have been Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
At any rate, okay. The dude made little to, like, the ball landed, like, a yard in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked for a split second like he was going to reach his arms out, and then he just
he
put
didn't.
His hands back down like, you
so
saw
he
that?
Didn't care.
Did
he
you
didn't
see
care.
That shit?
He said the game's over.
what the fuck? Like,
he said they not paying me enough for this bullshit.
Yo, there's something else. There is something else going on over there.
The whole team told Peterson, shut the fuck up, and Peterson went on the conference and said, we're going down to Dallas and winning.
Mm.
Yeah. That probably shouldn't have been done.
Yeah, they said that. Yeah, they did. But
he's sitting there talking about this motherfucker guaranteed winning, but I can't get a guaranteed contract. I ain't running for this shit. He said you got all this guarantee, Mr. Guaranteed quarterback. Throw the ball where I'm at, not where I'm going. Shit.
Yeah, hey, got a point there. But we're gonna go ahead and get into this game later on tonight, man. New England Patriots, New York Jets, man. I already know that. Lord have mercy. Okay, so I gotta ask my crew. I already picked the Patriots. Javon picked the Patriots, Executive picked the Jets. So I'm gonna go down the road. Executive, you picked the Jets. What is your prediction? What is your score prediction for tonight's
game?
Your score prediction for tonight's game.
It's been 5 years. You still don't learn how to do that? The Jets are going to have at least one more point than the Patriots.
Okay, there you go. Professor,
that's my prediction.
Okay, so.
That's my prediction.
I got you. Professor, your prediction, man. New England Jets, who's winning? I mean, you're taking Patriots with your score prediction.
Yeah. I can see the Jets putting up 2 touchdowns in this game. I can see them doing that. But at the same time, I can see New England putting up 34 points. So I'll say
34-14. 34-14?
Mm-hmm.
You're being generous. And I hate to say that. You're being very damn generous.
Yeah, I know, because New England's defense is the shit this year.
I don't think they're going to get 14. I think this is going to be a lot harder as hell. And like I said before, those who are listening, please believe I take no gratification, nor do I have. I feel no pleasure at all by saying this. It's going to be a damn blowout. It's going to be a 40 banger. That's what I see. I see 40-7. I would see them getting one touchdown, and they might not get that. They might not get that. Now, if they do that, hey, more power to them, man. I hope the Jets do beat them, and I don't care in what fashion they beat them, how they beat them. I don't give a damn if it was a missed call or whatever. Just the fact that the Patriots get a loss, that's all I care about. But in the real world, which I got to live in, I don't see that happening.
All right. I'm going to appease you.
Okay.
Since everybody talking about blowout shit like that at the damn hair salon.
Hey, man.
27-24 Meadowlands.
27-24 Meadowlands. You know what? I like that. You know what? If that was to come to fruition, man, I promise you, I'll throw a party in here. I'll tell you that right now. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. 27-24.
In my heart, brother, as much as I love you.
I'm saying 27-24 like an 84-year-old grandmother playing her shit straight in box.
Hey, well, just to throw 24. This out there is a record on the line tonight that Brady could potentially break. If he throws for 252 yards tonight, he will pass the 8,400 yards that Dan Marino has thrown against the Jets.
Oh, shit. Yeah, give me the Patriots.
No, you know what, man? I'm not dealing with you.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Hey, you know what? I just thought about something. You know how you know when your ass can get old? When you laugh and fart at the same time? Very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. Your body don't even have time to figure out whether it's a fart or a shart or a shit turd. You have no idea.
Okay, what the hell is going on?
Goddamn gambler.
I'm still. Brady gonna break the record. I'm still taking the Jets.
Okay, I mean it's possible you still can break the record and still lose.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean he did that with the Giants.
he's stupid. He said, "Ah, damn." He said, "Give me the Patriots."
that's unmotivated white boy.
Hey, motherfucker, I don't understand how, you know. When you think about the emotional aspect of the game, I don't understand how he has played this long and he is able to get in the right space mentally to play for this long. Because in the modern game, we don't really see this that often. You just don't. Like, you don't see players playing this old at this level since back in the damn day with them old dudes with no face masks and shit.
Wow.
With them birdcage face masks were playing.
I'm going to tell you.
That's because 95% of these athletes are still drinking and smoking throughout the entire season and off season. Tom Brady is not.
Right.
Yeah.
But hold on. Let me jump in here.
He won't even touch a beer.
Not just that.
No. Like, the interview was like, when I cheat on my diet, I eat a slice.
Can I jump in, please?
A slice?
Can I jump in? I appreciate it. Let me jump in. Like
don't get sensitive.
What the hell ever, nigga? Hey, don't be rude.
Uh-huh.
I didn't jump in. I was about to say.
I didn't say.
You see, you make me go there. You make me go there. You almost make me go there.
Gary Ward went from locker room talk radio to celebrity houses at night.
Man, what? Did you see who almost made me go there? You see that, right? I didn't go there by myself. I had people push my button. That professor boy. Whatever. Please.
Happens every day.
I said, but you know what? This is the thing, though. Not just with all that being right. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. But, you know, it does help the fact that the quarterback is the most protected player on the field. And on top of that, you know what I'm saying? That's all 32 quarterbacks. However, he gets more protection for years. Not now, but no. I always say it all the time, especially when you're a boy, you get more than the average, even the other 32. So, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, you know, the league helps them out, especially not all the quarterbacks. Just some get more help than others. So that's why.
So it may be, but the help after the hit means jack shit to me in this situation. Because the flag on the field doesn't make the hit go away.
No, I get that. But also, there are players who don't want to hit because
fuck that. I'll blow his ass up.
I'm just saying.
I'll blow his ass up.
Look, every time I come here, this dude, you know, I just don't, you know, so. That's what I said in that. But another word, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get up out of here. I want to thank my family, Professor X Factor, my brother, Executive Justin Drakeford. I am Coach. Yo, I don't like you, Professor. I just want to let you know that. You almost made me get out of character.
I'm going to tell Mona.
Nothing.
I'm going to tell Mona. You hear that, Mona? You hear him, don't you? I heard you. I heard both of you.
I heard what you said. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you tune in to Locker Room Talk Radio, man, this Thursday for 7. And this is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, signing off. And it's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.